Do any of you remember when you were born? Well, you know the date, don't you?
Yes.
But we don't really know or remember what happened. We probably do know about it from our parents, or if you're like me, I've got two older sisters, the youngest of three. I get all the stories told about what I did when I was young, and of course they can remember what happened when I was born. But of course, we ourselves can't. I was born at home, actually, in my parents' bedroom in a little suburban house in Coventry. My two older sisters had been born in hospital, and such was the view in those days that there'd been two normal births, then the third one could arrive safely at home. And so you had this wonderful person called the district midwife who would oversee home births. Her day off was Tuesday. You can guess what day of the week yours truly arrived. Yes, Tuesday. We know the date of our birth and we celebrate it. Well, though some of us getting to the age that I am wonder whether we should be celebrating our birthdays anymore. But in fact, as I shared with the group on Tuesday, I'm looking forward to another birthday in August. I heard in this week that I'm to become a grandfather for the first time in August. My daughter, my married daughter, is 3.5 months pregnant, expecting at the end of August. Our gospel story this morning is of Nicodemus, a character who appears in John's gospel on several occasions. And he comes to see Jesus at night. Why? Well, the general view is he didn't want to be seen by other Pharisees as consulting with this new unofficial rabbi. So we come quietly at night so that we are not seen. And Jesus says to him, you need to have two birthdays, basically. I'm sure those of you with children, of course the children have gone out now, would think having two birthdays would be a great idea. I seem to remember doing this as an all-age service, and somebody put their hand up and said, but Queen Elizabeth II also has two birthdays. And of course, they're quite right. She has an actual one in April, when she was born, and then she has an official one, usually on the second Saturday in June, which is about the nearest the Brits get to having a national day. I will have an invitation, fairly sure, to celebrate the Queen's official birthday by a garden party at the embassy sometime on a sunny afternoon here in June. Jesus says to Nicodemus, you need to be born again, born anew, or born from above. Our translation put born from above, but the Greek word can be translated in any of those ways. Born again, born from above, born anew. Jesus goes on to talk about being born of water and the Spirit. And it's usually understood that being born of water, what happens when a lady goes out to give birth, her waters break, is it speaks of physical birth, and being born of the Spirit is spiritual birth. And whilst we don't remember our physical birth, as I said at the beginning, hopefully, we do remember our own spiritual rebirth. Why does Jesus say this in response to Nicodemus? Well, it's in response to what we best described as Nicodemus buttering Jesus up. Listen to it. Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. And I almost sense that Jesus cuts him short halfway through his sentence and says to him, you need to be born anew, born again, born from above. And the reason that Jesus says it to him is, of course, Nicodemus was a Jew, a teacher of the Jews. And the Jews saw themselves as God's chosen people, which made them better people before God. And Jesus says, no, you don't become part of God's kingdom or receive eternal life because of where you were born or the race of your parents. No, you become part of God's kingdom by being born again or born from above, experiencing spiritual rebirth. Well, how does it, is this brought about? Well, Jesus reminds Nicodemus of an Old Testament story, and being a good Jewish scholar, he would know the Old Testament story found in the book of Numbers and chapter 21. I wonder how many of you are familiar with it. But the children of Israel sin, serpents are sent that bite people and kill them, and Moses has to make a brazen serpent, put it on a pole, and those who look towards the serpent on the pole are made alive again or are healed. And Jesus sees this as foreshadowing what will happen to himself. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. He sees it as foreshadowing his own death on the cross. And we have, of course, here an example of one of many in the Gospels of predictions of the cross and death of Jesus before it actually happens, by Jesus himself. And so we arrive at the famous verse which both David and I have referred to, John chapter 3 and verse 16, which explains how spiritual birth, being born again, born anew or from above, comes about. How did it start? For God so loved the world. And of course, that's the first important point to make. Not just the Jewish people, Nicodemus. For God so loved the world. To all Brits here, God is not an Englishman, although many people often think that he is, if you're English. And I know that many Americans see their nation as a special nation under God. But it's no more special than anybody else. For God so loved all people, all nationalities, which is needs highly appropriate to say to this congregation when we're usually looking around, almost probably again have double-figure nationalities sitting here this morning. God's love is for all people. God so loved the world, and it is expressed as the gift of his Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son to teach, to heal, to show us how to live, but yes, to die on the cross, to be lifted up on the cross, as John puts it. Continuing with our verse, so that everyone who believes in him. For God's love expressed in Jesus and his death on the cross does demand from us a response. To believe, to have faith, to trust in Jesus, his work of redemption on the cross, which we've sung about in our first two hymns this morning. In other words, to trust in what Jesus has done, not just to trust in our race or our physical birth where we were born, but to be born from above, to be spiritually born or reborn. Of course, you talk to some people and they can pinpoint a date and say, that was the time of my spiritual rebirth when I was born and you were born again. Some people, like St. Paul, have what we call a Damascus Road experience. But for others, of course, I expect for many of you, it's often a gradual journey as you slowly come to faith and belief in what Jesus has done. Let me say here and now, both are valid. If you had a dramatic experience, wonderful. If your coming to faith was gradual, equally wonderful. Both are valid. But we are called to believe, to respond to what Jesus has done. And if we do, so everyone believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Birth brings new life. Being born spiritually brings the promise of eternal life. But he also comes almost on two levels. There is both the now, the promise that we have eternal life, but there is also the not yet, the promise of seeing the kingdom of God. But then, of course, as we shall pray later in this service, when we say the Lord's Prayer, we pray for the establishment of the kingdom of God here on earth. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But with spiritual rebirth, we have that promise of eternal life. So as we consider this well-known story and most familiar of verses, may we first of all be thankful for our own physical birth, for the life that God has given us here to enjoy. May we secondly thank God for the opportunity of spiritual rebirth, for God's love for the whole world that we celebrate, and that it is for everyone, not just for those who are like us. Yes, God loved the world so much that he gave us his Son, and we are called to belief and to faith in what he has done for us, which we will celebrate, of course, in bread and wine later in this service. We are to believe and to receive that gift of eternal life. And one final thought, having done so, it's not to be kept to ourselves. It is for all the world, and for those who have received, it is our duty to tell others and share the good news with them. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Amen.